Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. And wow, do I have an amazing episode coming up for you all. I have Vanessa Peralta Mitchell on this episode talking about her journey, her experience of running, what it has been like for a woman of color breaking in not just to the running community, but breaking into being a leader and a visionary in the running community. She talks about her journey and she talks about this place that we have heard. We heard it from Nakia, this corporation called Game Changers, which is trying to create space for women of color to lead, to transform, to be visionaries in the running community. And so we dive deep into her journey and what led to the creation of Game Changers, what she has seen through creating Game Changers, and what her hopes and dreams as it continues to mold and shape runners of all different ethnicities, cultures, genders, anything, as we move this running community as a whole forward. So let's dive into this conversation. All right, so we have Vanessa Peralta Mitchell joining us today. Vanessa, how you doing?
I'm great, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And listeners, that name might sound familiar to many of you because I think we shouted out Vanessa more than a handful of times when I had on Nakia on the podcast. Of course, you all remember Nakia worked with Vanessa and worked with Game Changers, this company that Vanessa, you know, does a lot of work with and runs and founds and all of this stuff. I feel like trying to put a CV together for Vanessa might take a little long. So, Vanessa, I think we're just going to jump right in this conversation and begin where we normally begin. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
What makes my community and what makes it awesome? You know, my thoughts automatically go back to like my family, because that's really where my first community was. I am one of seven or six, depending who you ask. I know that might sound a little crazy, long story, but my family was my first sense of community, having that love and support. You know, there were so many of us, we always looked out for each other. That grew into definitely a bigger community of my friends, and then at college being in my sorority. And then eventually, you know, when I did find running, it was much later in life. It was after I had my first son. And, you know, in thinking about run community, I did find an organization called Latinas in Motion. So I did run a lot with them. So they were a big help in I'm part of my running community. But eventually, as I started running more and more and more, I became known as like an expert in terms of the, you know, someone who had done all the run distances and marathons and race events. And before I knew it, then there was a new community I was going to be a part of, which were run coaches. And I know we'll get into that in a bit, but in being a part of that community, I realized there was a lack of a certain group within that community, and that was women of color. And I know we'll definitely talk more, like I said, but, you know, my community also is very much involved with Game Changers, who are women of color certified run coaches. And that is certainly a big part of my community to this day. And it's really funny, and I hope it does come out in this podcast, but it's funny how it's kind of, there's a common needle in there between, you know, my family community to like the Game Changers community. And so it'd be nice to kind of like, you know, talk about that a little bit throughout the podcast. But my community, why is it so awesome? It's because they accept me for who I am, and vice versa. I've always accepted them for who they are. And there is something so beautiful about that transparency and vulnerability that you can have with each other, that there is no right or wrong or left or right or, you know, up and down. It's kind of like we all have and see things in our own special way, and we all can respect that and appreciate that from one another.
And you talk about from a very early age, having this sort of communal understanding, especially centered around family and friends. As you move into adulthood in your own respect, What does the role of that community and that community mindset begin to play as you establish yourself? And this is even before running, I would say, but establishing yourself as an adult in society, as someone who is of minority background, from, I think I saw it was parents are from Ecuador. And so what was it like for you establishing yourself within community in general as an adult from this perspective?
Yeah, having community, looking back to where I am now, I also have my own family now. So, that is, definitely a big part of how I show up, because my husband and I, we have three kids. And so my family is certainly a reflection of the community that I grew up in. So, my parents coming here from another country and knowing that, the roots of everything that they've experienced really flows through my veins and my blood, and I get to pass that on to my children. Yes, my background is Ecuadorian and my husband is black and white. So, I really felt the weight of that, I would say, in the very beginning, because I was like, oh my goodness, like when we had our first child, I'm like, he's only going to know about like the Ecuadorian culture through me. And that was a lot of pressure. But then I realized that we all write our own narrative. So I'm sure when my parents came to this country, they wanted to perhaps pass down the culture to me in some aspects, but I created my own way of doing that and my own way of involving that in how I've built my business and how I've built Game Changers about that underrepresented voice, mm-hmm. And now my kids can take that and now build whatever narrative, whatever journey that they want to go with and go forth with. So I think there is something rooted in the way that you can look back at what you have experienced and use that as an ingredient to build, whether that's your future or like your children or the people that you affect and the future that they create in this world. So I don't know if that answered your question, Andrew.
No, I think it goes a long way. Because one of the things that we often think about is the way that our own upbringing influences how we relate to and see other people. And, mm-hmm. As you look at journeys like yours with parents from another country, but then also mixed race marriage, raising these kids, and whether it's talking about that from a minority perspective or any sort of perspective, I think that what it looks like for us to be in community together means these intentions and stuff that we're passing along through the generations. And I really appreciate, like you said, of there's a lot of stuff that comes from your roots, from your parents' experience that you pass along to your kids. And so as you begin to, I don't know what it might have been for you, whether you were looking for another outlet after having kids, whether you wanted to get into a certain shape. But what became the spark in all of this? Because you say you got back in, or you got into running after your first child was born. And so what became the spark for you to want to begin to run?
Yeah, so the spark was while I was still in college. So I didn't have we didn't have our first child yet, but it's all goes back to, I can see myself actually being in my living room back at home. And so I'm in the Philadelphia area, but I'm actually born and raised in Jersey. So I can remember being in Jersey, sitting in the living room, my mom close by, and we were watching like HBO, and up pops this documentary, and it was about women in sports. And I was so moved by that documentary, Andrew, that I really felt compelled to do something. Now, the documentary wasn't just about running. It was about a whole bunch of different types of sports. I think it was called Dare to Compete or something to that extent. Don't quote me exactly on that. But it showed different sports. I mean, maybe like basketball or soccer or different areas where women had to advocate for their rights to simply partake in these sports. And one of those sports covered was running. And they showed, of course, KB Switzer's story and her experience at the Boston Marathon and how the race director, right, tried to physically get her out of his race at one time, helped to kind of, safeguard her and told her to keep going, and she finished the race. So all these stories combined, you know, one journey after another fight, after someone's, you know, commitment to, maybe they weren't even thinking about like world change. Maybe they were just thinking about like, hey, like this is something I really want to do. Why am I not given the opportunity to achieve this, you know? So it just was like the culmination of all those stories made me want to pay homage to all those trailblazers before me. Like, what can I do right now to, in essence, say thank you, you know, to not throw away the opportunity that I can just simply sign up for a race. And so I started to think that maybe I could run a marathon. Now, you know, it's that honestly was just because I couldn't just join the WNBA, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just show up to the national soccer team and become a part of it. So to me, running was the most accessible to me in terms of like, oh, I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so that day I had promised myself, you know, didn't tell a soul. There wasn't social media back then. I didn't even have like a phone to text anybody. It's like, I told myself that I was going to run a marathon. And being from New Jersey, the closest and only marathon that I knew about was the New York City Marathon. So that day I had promised myself that I was going to do it. And it took me a lot of years, but I can proudly say that I eventually did that.
When you look at this journey being, you know, impacted by such a great story, because I'm sure as you told that story, for those who are embedded in the running community, maybe they know the history, you know, at least I know for me, I can see that picture of Catherine Switzer trying to be yanked off the course while, you know, and so people can visually see that picture for a lot of us. And it's almost weird to think, you know, one, it wasn't that long ago, but then to have that ignite a spark in you to go out and compete as a woman. When you started getting into the running scene, though, I have to imagine that it wasn't as easy necessarily as just getting going, because I think that there are still a lot of biases and a lot of, a lot of different and negative things that exist in sport. And so what were your experiences of the sport when you started to get involved?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those biases I really didn't see until I became a coach. So from my perspective, in terms of running, it was just more of a self recognition of like, can I do this? You know what I mean? Like I hadn't run before. Running wasn't a thing to me. You know, I had done sports for sure, you know, basketball, soccer, softball. My husband and I even did like a co-ed softball team. So like sports was a part of my life. But running without an intention of a ball or a ref or some type of competition with someone else, it just wasn't a thing for me. So, you know, when I first started running, it was just, I was so green in that space. No one I'd known had known ran. My high school didn't have a track. My college didn't have a track team. Like, you know, I didn't have any association. I couldn't relate to the running world. It was just like in my mind, like, oh, I'll just get up and run, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did have access to a local high school track. And to me, it's like, I'll just run a couple of laps. So the bias was my own, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In terms of like, I'll run a couple of laps and then I'm going to go run this 10K that I signed up for, unknowingly knowing that there was a 5K I could have signed up for, right? That's how new I was to this space. I didn't even understand the differences in distances, you know what I mean? So in the beginning, it was more of me having a really, really huge learning curve about what it is to run, because I thought, which is a stereotype, that you just need a pair of sneakers and you can get out. And yes, there is that one side of it that is the, no, there's a lot of much more than that in terms of social injustice and biases that people have in terms of who they see as runners. And then there's also that internal bias that like, you know, do I see myself as this person? I never would see myself or say for years, I wouldn't have called myself a runner. You know, I was just doing this thing and it was hard. You know what I mean? And but in that challenge came that change. And I started to really love that part of it.
I was going to say, and what, you know, thinking about what helped you to overcome that internal bias,
I know a lot of runners from all different areas and aspects of life who will relate to that comment of, you know, it took me so long to call myself a runner. And, you know, I remember a blog post that I published of, you know, trying to name that people can claim that title no matter what, you know, pace they run. It's like, this is what running is. If you do it, you're a runner. But for a lot of our listeners who might struggle with that, you know, what are some of those aspects of affirmation that you tell folks when they're in that space? And even maybe what are some of the things that helped you to overcome that thought process of saying, no, like, I am a runner. I belong in this space. I deserve it to be in this space. And even more than just being a runner, and, you know, not, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but even to name that, to be like, I want to explore that, because to occupy that space, I think gives so much like leverage of understanding as you now go into the running space and you're like, I'm a runner, you know, now you claim all these other titles in order to start to help to create this change that you're making. So what are some of those affirmations? What are some of those things that helped you as you began to wrestle with, I'm a runner, or what's going to make me feel like a runner, or what makes your athletes feel like runners?
Yeah, I think it speaks a lot to what a lot of the stereotypes that were pushed. You know, I think the running industry has come a long way. There's still a long way to go, but I never considered myself a runner because of all the images and, you know, forms of communication that are put out there in terms of what a runner looks like. You know, a runner is very tall and thin and fast, and, you know, maybe has some history with running. Maybe it's been passed down from their parents, or they were on a track team or did cross country. And literally everything I'm naming to you, it wasn't me. You know what I mean? I you know, have my hips from my mom, which I love. You know what I mean? I never considered myself fast, although I did have gotten faster after each child, I will say that. But in the beginning, I wasn't, you know what I mean? But that also was a mindset, honestly. But there were a lot of things that the outside world was showing me and indirectly telling me of what a runner was, and I wasn't it, you know? So I think in the beginning, you know, I just was doing this thing that I like to do, but I didn't define it for myself. And I think when you actually name something, you value it. So when I finally was able to call myself a runner, it was really after years, Andrew. Like, it wasn't like this one race and then like I called myself a runner. It wasn't anything like that. It was years of me just showing up for myself. And just knowing that this is hard, but I still did it. And, you know, the fact that as I kept showing up in that way, that other people within my circle of, you know, family, friends, and community started to see that. And then all of a sudden, like, they saw me as a runner. They saw me as a leader. They saw me as someone that they can go to for advice. And in that really was the transition for me to believe in it too. So it was really my community that believed in me and saw me as a runner. And then that helped me to transition that, you know what? I am a runner. I do run races. I do cross finish lines. You know, back then, not every race handed out a medal, but the ones that I had, I loved them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, I am doing this thing. I am being this person. You know, I am this version of myself that other people see me as. I just needed to believe it. So for me, it was really about taking that action. And then that really helped to change my mindset. But the underlying part of that was my community that saw it first before I even saw it.
I mean, there's so much in that, because I think that is, gosh, that is so true. And to think about where the almost global running community is now, and seeing, you know, I hear people talk about it's like the new running boom, and it's not like the one that happened back in the 70s and 80s, where it was all about, you know, speed, right? Everybody wanted to be, you know, Prefontaine. Everybody wanted to be Frank Shorter. Everybody wanted to be these guys who were lean, tall. They wanted to run fast. Like, I mean, but a lot of what you see in this sort of modern age running boom, so to say, is along the lines. It's that personal belief in yourself. And, you know, I think I see a lot of grief in communities where, you know, maybe that personal belief wasn't there. And so you see the people who've kind of been beaten down from it and they haven't been able to raise back up to what truly they can look like. And so maybe someone gets defeated and maybe they never hit a potential that they may think they can hit. They never hit the potential of what they're capable of. And I think it does reside a lot in your own story. And I love that you talk about, you know, you had to define what a runner was in your own mind for yourself, and to find that not in the stereotypes. Cause I think when people hear that, they're going to be like, all right, well, I'm going to define a runner myself. And we're going to use the same definition that the stereotypes entail, but to be able to define a runner and to be able to define it within ourselves allows us to be able to, like you said, see that light of who we can be, and that a runner can be someone who does it this, you know, for me, this awkward way that sometimes looks uncomfortable, but gets me across the finish line. And so to bring that in now, because like I said, I love this connection between where that takes us as claiming that role as a runner, because the next role that you kind of begin to claim is this one of coach. And then it continues to build layer on layer. But you then move into this coaching scene, as I understand it. Just to kind of start that conversation there, like what sparks this desire to become a coach? What sparks this desire to really come into this space? And as you mentioned, this is the space where you really start to receive sort of that pushback of the other stereotypes, the other parts of your being, person of color, minority understanding. So when you get into this coach scene, like what pushes this desire to be a coach? And then what are you met with when you come into this space?
Yeah, so my circle of friends started to get interested in running. And so at that point, I've been running for a while, you know, and they would look to me for advice from anything to like, you know, races and distances, to how they should train, how they should eat, what kind of shoes, you know, and all these different things that I felt like I totally wasn't qualified to talk about. You know, because I'm still going through this, my own transition of like, am I a runner, you know? But they started to see me as this expert. And I really felt that I needed to step up to the plate and take ownership of that. And at the same time, I was finding out information about getting certified as a run coach, which I didn't know was even a thing, you know? And once I found out about that certification, I was like, oh, wow, like you can get certified. Like, yes, like give me the knowledge, you know, give me the spaces where I can learn and grow and really proclaim that I am an expert, like everyone sees me in. Because again, there was a little bit of that, like me still defining, you know, am I a runner? Now I want to be a coach. So, you know, once I looked into it, it did cost a lot. You know, it was a, back then they didn't really do the online thing. So it was nowhere close to me. It's a couple hundred dollars investment, but that's on top of flight, hotel, travel. And, you know, just obviously we have a family. Back then I had just had our third child. So all the things were just, you know, it wasn't feasible for me to really look into it. And I had a really busy job. I was a senior project manager, and to fit anything in like that was just like not realistic of me. And then you throw on top of that the expenses, then it just really made it like, okay, this is not something I can do. But, you know, I have a belief in a higher power, and God had a different story. He had a different thing in place for me. So, you know, when I was actually 7 months pregnant with our third child, my company laid off about 16 of the project managers. So it's a global company. And I was totally blindsided. I had no idea that that was even a thought. You know, I felt like, you know, the naive thought of like, oh, I'm secure, I'm good. You know, like, nothing's going to happen with my role, you know. But yeah, no, it did. And I was out with the rest of them, even though I was, you know, that far along in my third pregnancy. And I was in such a space of devastation, because, you know, for anyone who's listening, if you've ever experienced, you know, being let go, there is that, it's just like this murky, you know, feeling of like a failure and, you know, maybe you didn't do enough, or this negative self-talk and this spiral that you kind of go down and you're sad, you know, it's just a sad thing. And especially when it's unexpected, I will say that I feel for you. I, you know, being myself, who I was in that space, has created who I am in this space. So I do want to encourage you that that space is temporary. But it is a really crappy feeling, you know what I mean? But I didn't realize it at the time, but it was definitely the kick out that I needed, to really dive in to what I'm supposed to be doing. And so it did take me a little bit to understand, like, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life journey right now? Like, what is it that I want to show up every day for? And, you know, I had, you know, since been running all those years. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to revisit this certification coaching thing. And I did. And I remember leaving my husband enough breast milk for our child, you know, leaving him with three kids, going on a plane out to Boston to catch my first Uber out to New Hampshire, you know, and really not knowing a soul out there. And I mean, again, I went from Philly to New Hampshire to catch this, the quote unquote closest certification near me.
Yep.
And I show up to this certification with every person in my community believing in me, knowing what I'm doing and rooting for me. And I get there and I never felt so alone in my life. Mm-hmm. I felt, not only did I actually not know anybody, but I think there is this sense of, you know, seeing other people that look like you. And I didn't, you know, there was only one other person of color. And so him and I were visibly the only two people of color. And we happened to sit next to each other just by chance. But, you know, it was really a telling moment for me, because I think I worked up enough nerve and all the life circumstances that led me to that room. And then to feel that I didn't belong. And not that anyone said that to me, not that anyone, you know, treated me some type of way, but it was this, I guess going back to those stereotypes, right? Like who am I seeing in the room right now? This feeds that initial stereotype of knowing that, or, you know, guessing about like, am I a runner? Like, can I be a coach? Can I, you know, fill these shoes that, you know, people see me in? And it was a tough weekend for me, I will say. But I so proud of the fact that I didn't let that feeling define what I was going to do with that certification, or the fact that I even still wanted to be a coach, you know, because I could have left everything there and not taken the test and not make something of that certification at all. But I didn't let my fear drive my decisions.
And so, excuse me, you know, I think in talking to Nakia, a lot of the folks will remember and hear a lot of similarities between her journey into coaching and your journey into coaching, especially when it comes to being one of the few people of color in a room. And so I imagine that, you know, there's a lot that then goes into how you end up serving as a coach once you return back home. And, you know, maybe to connect a couple of dots, and if I'm connecting them incorrectly, let me know. But I imagine that a lot of the stuff that you experienced in your coaching education journey would end up leading to a lot of the things that now are happening in Game Changers. And so what begins to happen as you begin to use this coaching education, and maybe it begins to highlight some of the inequities that exist within this running space? You know, I have to assume just by the way that you talked that you are Road Runners Club of America certified in terms of coaching. You know, again, like, being a coach myself, I'm certified through USATF because it's cheaper, because I could do it online. And so I know that there's a lot of inequities just in the way that we help to train and have this sport be knowledgeable to the masses. And so what is that experience at the at your coaching education? How does that then lead you to serve as a coach? But also maybe what's beginning to ferment in the background in terms of wanting this community to be a more equitable place where runners can see themselves in those who are surrounding them, in those who are participating, and even in those who are leading?
Yeah, it's a multi-layered answer, to be honest with you. So, you know, leaving the Road Runners Club of America certification course, which they have played a huge part in getting Game Changers up and running, by the way, and I'll talk about that more in a second. But, you know, I didn't leave there with this grandioso plan. I didn't leave there with this idea that I was going to aim to change the industry or change my life. You know what I mean? That I kind of left there a little bit with, you know, intimidation and a little bit of like, now what? Like, this was supposed to be my answer. This just left me with so many more uncertainties. So it took me a little bit of time and space to understand what it is that I wanted to do. Exactly, in terms of, you know, utilizing that education. But sure enough, one of the first things I did was I went on an interview to be a run coach for a company. And, you know, after that, I got some other opportunities to work with different brands, to lead some group training, some group runs, some run events locally. And so I was really in the mix of the local run community in terms of a run coach. And it felt great. You know what I mean? I felt that I was utilizing my certification and also, you know, being this, using this certification in ways that I didn't know that exists, right? It opened up these doors for me that I hadn't realized that these were opportunities that I could dive into. But the thing is, and this was the seed that started to get planted, is that I started to realize that a lot of these spaces and places showed the same type of person leading the way, the same type of person in front of the room, the same type of person that is, you know, essentially, you know, giving you the green light in terms of, you know, this is what certification is, this is the program, you know, and a lot of times it was the same gender and the same race, and it was white males. And I really started to think about, well, hey, like, I'm in this space too, you know? Mm. And there aren't a lot of people that look like me. There were not a lot of women of color. And I just always found that, like, almost curious. Like, I wonder why there aren't more women of color doing this. And so as I'm working with businesses and brands, I started to think about, you know what, like, I want to venture out and do something on my own. Like, I've been working with all these, you know, brands and businesses again, but, you know, why don't I do something? Like, I'm a coach, I can do something on my own and really, you know, push out who I want to show as the experts. And so I had this idea to create the All Women's Run panel, which in my mind was going to be 5 diverse female coaches. And we'll make it like a whole event, you know what I mean? We'll make it like a group run. We'll have like vendors there. We'll give a free shoe giveaway. And, you know, we'll do a panel talk, and we'll have a warm up and a cool down. And these were all things that were all lined up, by the way. And the thing is, in creating this All Women's Run panel and reaching out to women of color who I saw that I thought that they were, you know, also certified run coaches, you know, in terms of being in this space, I was really surprised to know, like, a lot of them weren't. Mm. And a lot of them weren't because either they didn't know it, or they didn't know it was like something that you could do, or they just couldn't afford it. And so again, I was curious, like, well, I'm surprised by that. And so I ended up having my panel and everything in place. But sure enough, as you know, everything that went down in 2020, 2 weeks before my event was to happen in person, COVID shut everything down. Like, you know, obviously, like, shut down.
Yeah.
And so I was, of course, devastated and felt sad, not only for me, but for us all. And, you know, was in that same space that a lot of people were, where it's just like, how do we deal with this? Because everything else is not important, you know? But I will say in that space, it did give me some time. And in that time, I really took to understand, like, how can I still deliver this panel in a way that it's, you know, really reflective of all those seeds, right? All those messages I've been seeing along the way. And so I was thinking, like, well, maybe, you know, I can certify, get these women certified as coaches, you know. And my goal was to fund 5 women of color to become certified run coaches. And it was just an idea, you know what I mean? And so I put a panel together, you know, 2 of which were women of color, and which I was proud of. But we made the event virtual. And so the idea was for people to register. It was supposed to be a free event in person, but virtually we charged a cost, registration cost, so people could help us pay this forward for future run coaches. So they have these run experts at their fingertips, and what they're doing is essentially paying it forward for these women of color to become run coaches. And I was really, really proud of myself for, you know, putting this event together. But as I'm putting the event together, so many, this is so layered, it's not even funny. So many things were also happening because I did not plan to start a business. If you would have asked me a couple years ago if I would ever start a business, I would run the other way. Like, it just wasn't something for me. But before I even had a business, before I even had a website, before I even had a Game Changers program, I was telling people about what we wanted to do. And you'd be surprised that so many people were on board with what we were wanted to do. And essentially, and I'll talk about the Game Changers program now, even though at this point it wasn't a program, but the Game Changers.
No, I was going to say, I was about to say, like, let's name it. We've been talking about it now for about almost 40 minutes. And I hate to bury the lead because this is the exciting thing. But yeah, let's dive into Game Changers. So tell the listeners, like, so what is Game Changers? They probably have a little bit of background, but give us, you know, that big story. What is Game Changers? What does it do? And how does this, because this is the awesome part that I love about this program, is how does this then kind of come in to not, unfortunately, not fully solve, but at least begin to break down those barriers that have been built up in this community?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Game Changers program, we provide resources and funds so more women of color can become certified run coaches. We want to redefine who people see as experts and leaders in the running industry. So when we think about, you know, women of color are in the running space. We're here already. It's more so about changing who's leading the way. And so we, you know, empower women of color to go from that community runner to the industry leader. And so we're really proud of our program, which, again, my goal was initially to fund the 5 women. There was a real mind shift for me that happened. And I was like, well, why stop at that 5? Why don't we redefine the whole industry? And to this day, I can say that we're proudly at 107 coaches in 27 states and in Washington, D.C. And the program at the core and at its root of it really speaks to what I identified back in my relationship with my mother. So like you said before, my parents came here from Ecuador. And me being the youngest child, sorry, the youngest girl, I have a younger brother, but my older sister is a lot older than me. My younger brother is a lot younger than me, 8 years difference both ways. So there was a lot of times that I was my mom's communicator. You know, I was next to her in those spaces and places where, because English is her second language, that her voice wasn't being heard. And I didn't know words like discrimination and racism and bias back then. I just remember feeling so uncomfortable and almost embarrassed and all these feelings that I didn't know how to explain. But there I was next to my mom, who was boldly, you know, trying to either defend her intelligence or trying to get out her words, which were difficult because she would be so upset because she was being disrespected. You know, and or also speaking on her behalf, you know, because I'm in like banks with my mom. My father owned his own business. So I'm in banks with my mom. I'm at the post office. I'm at, you know, department stores and all these places. People are treating her just so differently. And it wasn't like every day and all the time, but it was definitely considered. It was part of my mom's story. It's part of my story. Mm-hmm. And so I really can look back now that being in those, growing up in that space of being a voice for my mom and knowing that she was feeling unheard and she was feeling invisible, that there's something there that resonates with me in terms of like women of color being in that space within the running industry. You know, like our expertise, our leadership, our value, I don't want it to be invisible. I don't want it to be unheard. I want it to be at the forefront. And with the Game Changers program, that's exactly what we're doing.
And so how long has Game Changers been around?
Yep. So since 2020, that's when I wanted to build the All Women's Run panel, which eventually grew into the Game Changers program.
And so I guess, you know, in these few short, I mean, I think we all kind of still feel at some point that we're still in 2019. But in these few short years, what are some accomplishments? You've talked about the 107 coaches. You talked about, you know, 27 states. That's more than half the country. But even deeper, what are some of those positive differences that you see happening in the running community with these not just the conversations, but like, you know, we kind of talk about the fact that y'all are taking up that space. Y'all are there. Y'all are in the room. So what are some of those positive things that you've begun to notice around you and in this community as you've started really building out this network of women of color?
Yeah, it's really amazing to look that, you know, a business that I built from the corner of my bedroom, you know, now I'm in what I call the penthouse, which is my, you know, attic space. That's my office. But really amazing to me to know that, I built something from the corner of my room that really resonates with people across the nation. And I'm not just talking about women of color, right? Because Game Changers doesn't exist just to coach and train women of color. Game Changers exists so that you can see someone different in a leadership role in the running space. So you can go to someone different for their expert advice, but you can value someone else's experience, both their lived and learned. That's why Game Changers exist. And that resonates with so many other people, whether they are women of color that want to be a part of this mission, or whether there are brands and businesses that want to partake in diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging, and they just need a way to do that. It really is amazing to see that transformation happening, because our name is getting known within the industry. Before I would have to enter rooms and say like, hi, I'm Vanessa, you know, from VCPM Inc., because that's the name of my company. I'm a for-profit business, by the way, too. And Game Changers, the whole business is for-profit. Okay. But I would go into these rooms and say like, hey, you know, I'm VCPM Inc., you know, Game Changers. And people will be like, okay, tell me more. And now it's so amazing to know that not just me, but our coaches go into space and they're like, oh, I'm with Game Changers. Like, oh, yeah, I heard of them. Or like, oh, I know a coach. Or like, yeah, I see what you guys are doing. And that really speaks volumes to the amplification, right, of what we're doing, and testament for the need of it, because it's not just us talking about having a redefining of run leadership, right? Mm-hmm. It's also other runners. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm talking to you, Andrew, right? You know, yeah. Or, you know, the different businesses that we see in the industry. So it's really a big push and a want for people to want to see this change in the industry. So some of the milestones along the way have been Brooks Running is our presenting sponsor. This is their third year being our presenting sponsor. We have the Credit Union Cherry Blossom as part of our supporting sponsors, as well as the Roadrunners Club of America, who they were the ones that saved us those seats in the beginning, because access we found was a barrier for women of color to becoming coaches. So Roadrunners Club of America saves us those seats. We do still pay for them, and we do apply for scholarships as well, but they have been a big partner in that sense. And also our data collection is a big milestone. So when we first entered this space, we wanted to find as much information and data on women of color in running, but there isn't a lot post-collegiate, you know, and there's even less about women of color. So we said we were going to collect it on our own. So we can speak to the impact that not only Game Changers is having in the industry, but at the community level as well. And that's how we know that 89.5% of the women that come through our program are finding that they're finding that self-confidence in themselves, not only within running, but in their life. And to me, like that type of data is immeasurable for sure.
And, you know, I'm someone who's come to, excuse me. You know, I'm someone who's come to coaching in, you know, I did my training last year in 2023. And to think about how coaching was presented to me versus maybe how other coaches, you know, even before 2020 was presented, you know, we had whole sections, whole conversations just on, you know, how to work with female runners and understanding, you know, signs and symptoms that we need to be looking for across the board. And so as someone who is also coming in the running scene and thinking about how we're caring for runners, but then the question is not just, you know, okay, now you got this, you know, white male who's coming in trying to coach female runners. But, you know, I even think about how positive the image is for them to be able to have someone and come and talk about their experiences and then seeing these brands come on and show their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, not just in, I mean, of course, in who they hire and in who's a part of these companies, but even in how they're working with different groups. And then to talk about the equity side of everything where, you know, at its most basic form, running is a very accessible sport. But the problem is it's really hard to get it in its most basic form in a lot of ways because, you know, you can just toss on a pair of shoes and go out the door and jog some miles. But like I've talked about with other guests, you know, at some point in time, you're going to come up against a wall where, you know, you're going to need a nicer pair of running shoes in order to participate because you're getting injured or, you know, maybe there is that place where you think you might need a coach. And so, you know, you can quickly see how the inequities begin to grow in that space. And so to look forward and to look at where VCPM Inc. is and Game Changers and all of this stuff is now and to look into the future, you know, where do you want to see Game Changers and even the broader running community as you look into the future?
Yeah, so as I look into the future, I definitely see Game Changers in leading the way in terms of redefining what that run leadership looks like. You know, what, you know, we can do in terms of making not only running, but that expertise space more accessible to people in the running industry. You know, whether that is fellow runners, BIPOC or not BIPOC, or, you know, the youth, whether they're our own or people who see us as, you know, witnessing us, you know, leading the way. I really feel like Game Changers will be at the forefront and a well-known name within the running space and hopefully beyond that, you know what I mean? Because we don't see, and I personally don't see coaching as this box. It's not, the definition of coaching to me is not this box. The definition of coaching for me is very much a vehicle. It's something that we're utilizing to create impact and change, whether that's at the community level or whether that's at the industry level. And I think a lot of the work that we're doing really addresses systems in really in our world that no longer work. You know what I mean? So like when we think about those stereotypes of who's seen, whether it's as a runner or as a leader, you know, there is definitely room to change that. There's definitely room to build upon that. There's just way too many of us in the world and in running to not see someone different that is on the microphone, that is in the front of the workshop presenting, that is writing the books in the industry, and that is taking up space as someone that people can go to for that expert advice. And that includes all the magazines and people who are being cited and all the things. There's so many examples of where coaching can take someone. And I really see Game Changers being this vehicle where we can have more coaches on podcasts. You know, we can have more coaches, whether that's in like, you know, forums and conferences and, you know, writing like these, college written material. You know, there's so many opportunities out there. But I think that, you know, it takes more than just the women who are in the program. It takes a lot of the rest of the running space to join arm in arm with us to say that they also believe in this change. You know, change doesn't just happen by those who seek it. You know, I always like to say change is the responsibility of us all who identify the need for it. So if you're someone listening to this podcast and you identify the need for change, then you are also a part of this journey and this narrative and story to create that change. You know, think about who you go to for your expert advice. You know, what races are you signing up for to partake in, and what is important to them? You know, one thing I would like to say about the future of Game Changers as well is the fact that we just literally launched a new program. It's called Powered. It's powered by Game Changers, and it's our way to partner with road races so that we can become the go-to online training program that's powered by our game-changing Women of Color certified run coaches. So there's a real need for road races to be inclusive. And I don't just mean that in terms of race. I mean that in terms of, like, you know, races have this opportunity to create these special events, these milestone memories for people. But there really is an opportunity for them to invest and be inclusive of their racers 12 weeks, 16 weeks, you know what I mean, or shorter distances, 8 weeks. They can really invest in someone's experience and their journey leading up to race day, so they can have an optimal day at their event. And so what better way to provide that experience for runners than providing a coaching service? And so that's where Power comes into play, because we can provide that coaching service for their runners leading up to that race day. And, you know, really says a lot for road races to use our game-changing coaches to do that, because that sends a bigger message. And then runners also feel that they're a part of that narrative as well.
And it is. It's you know, coming in, it's showing what you have to offer, because I think in a lot of ways it's sometimes the lack of society of just seeing what's there, what's available, and then making that extra concerted effort to ensure that we're giving voice to all who are represented within our communities. And I think especially as we're looking at it, you know, the work that groups like Game Changers can make in the running scene, because we get to see the entirety of humanity exist within the running community. We don't have to think that running is just for a certain subsection of people. And to kind of bring it back to your defining yourself as a runner, you know, I think about how many more people, because we've created spaces where not just anyone can run, but now we're creating spaces where anyone can lead, that we're creating a space where people don't have to question whether they're a runner or not, but they see themselves and they're able to take it on and to help to overcome those barriers as well, to continue to see this work happen. So let's jump to these end of podcast questions that I love to focus on. So Vanessa, what is your favorite distance to race?
Oh, 10 miler.
10 miler. That, you know, that's one that we haven't gotten a lot, but that's an underrated race.
Yes, it is. I have a perfect mindset plan for that. 10 miler is my bread and butter.
All right. So what is your favorite thing to eat post-run, post-race, favorite food, snack, meal, whatever it is?
Oh, it's so bad. So, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But I love eating, it's long distance races, a bacon double cheeseburger with fries and a Coca-Cola.
Hey. You know what? I admitted on the podcast last week, my favorite thing is a big old burrito. So I think a lot of stuff goes out the door when we run about, you know, 5, 10, 15 miles in one run.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Vanessa, if you could give our listeners a reason to join their local run club, their local run group, to just get out there and be a part of run community.
If I can give them advice, you're saying?
Just give our listeners a reason to go and join one of these groups to get out and join their local running community.
Yes, you know, joining your local run community in whatever capacity, maybe that's your local run store, maybe there's a crew, a run crew that you can join. There is something undeniable about the feeling of fellowship. So, you know, running can feel like a lone sport. You know, you can feel very solo when you're out there putting your miles in. But when you are a part of a run crew, club, or community, you can quickly realize that you might be running solo, but you're never truly alone. So I definitely encourage everyone to get out there and join. Again, it doesn't have to be, you know, whatever capacity you can do. I'm not saying you have to go every week, but if you go there just enough so that you can start making some run friends, it will make all the difference, not only in your training, but in your run journey as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining, Vanessa. What a great conversation. And for those of you listening, you know, and I'll have links for all of the Game Changer stuff and Vanessa's stuff so that you all can keep on looking in and diving deep into this. But thank you so much for listening. Vanessa, you have a good day.
Thank you too. Bye.
Oh my goodness. If that episode does not get you out on the run, friends, I don't know what will. This was such a great episode with Vanessa. I was so humbled to have her come on, to have her share her story, to let us know. I know, you know, a lot of times I've been getting these folks from Virginia, and this is kind of my branching out, my looking beyond the running spaces of people that I know that I am connected to personally, and hopefully to begin to bring in people from further than just the running communities that I'm a part of, but to expand that reach so that we can see that our little run communities where we may be are not the only ones, that there is this huge network of people. And I think Vanessa begins to build that story and show us. And so I was so thankful for her for coming on, for sharing that story. Again, all those links there are going to be in the show notes. You've got her personal website, information on Game Changers. You're going to have information on Powered with Game Changers in there too. There's also going to be my own information as well, where you can find me online and on social media. But also here at the end, you know, if you loved this episode, please go back and listen. This is episode number 22, so there's 21 other episodes here available for you to listen. 21 amazing other guests. Well, maybe 20, because last week I interviewed myself, and, you know, I'm not necessarily on par with the others, but, you know, whatever. Who cares? Go back and listen to those episodes, because we are all learning and growing on the run and beyond as a community together. So head on over, listen to those. Follow and subscribe to the podcast. So whatever podcast app you are on, hit that follow or subscribe button. If you're not on a podcasting app, you know, do it right. Yeah, I've got it on my listener page at runbuildgrow.com/listen. Check that out and find it on one of your favorite apps. If you don't see your app there, let me know and I'll get it on there as quickly as I can. I've had some transitions, but I'm hoping everything is kind of fixed and working as it should. You know, while you're online, head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Those two really seem to be the ones that you can leave rating and reviews on. If you're doing it on Apple Podcasts, you leave it as a review on the episode, on the show itself. And so please help me out. I got 4 ratings and 3 reviews. If y'all could help and, you know, show how much you love this podcast, boost those up. And then for Spotify, just go in. There's always a little question at the bottom of how much you enjoyed this episode. You know, if you want to hop in there, like my buddy Chris, Dat Frenchie over on Spotify, you know, he goes in and I love it every time. Offering just some positive words of inspiration on the last episode, the solo episode. He said, solid guest choice. Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. Really continues to focus on the community of running and all the benefits all may achieve. Dig the consistency of the message. Keep it up. I also want to shout out John Hartzell. Y'all remember his episode a while back. You know, I was a little skeptical about the solo episode, but hearing the affirmation from John, hearing affirmation from folks like Chris, and even just in general, you know, I'm glad that y'all appreciate that episode. I might try and bring it back again sometime, but I'm really loving interviewing these guests. And so make sure, head on over, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a rating and review. If you have an idea for a guest, if you want to be a guest, if you want to share your story here, email me, Andrew@runandrev.com. That's going to be in the show notes as well. And then lastly, Like, it takes a lot to offer this, and I'm not saying you have to, but if you can find it within yourself, if you want to support the podcast in another way and you want to support me with a monetary donation, if you thought this episode with Vanessa was just an awesome episode and you want to buy me a cup of coffee, if you want to buy me a beer, whatever you want to do, you know, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. You can drop a tip if you really love this episode, and there's options for how much of a tip you want to drop, or you can become a member, become a recurring donator to this podcast and to all the things that I am doing. And so if you want to get in on that, that is buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. You know, I just love all of the support, any support that you can offer, whether you take a second, a minute, or maybe 15 minutes. You know, I love to see all of the support that I get. It makes me know that offering this podcast and getting these stories out into the universe, it means something. So until next time, make every mile count.